fun.
And I appreciate those hymns. It was more than just taking up time. 2 John. This is a small book, but oh, what a great message is in it. Small portion of God's Word, but full, choice words. Words in season. Gospel words. Listen to some of the words in this. Just words in this epistle. Elect. Truth. Love. Grace. Mercy. Peace. Doctrine of Christ. 13 verses. And the whole counsel of God's in it. All those wonderful words. I really wanted to preach the whole counsel. Just preach 2 John. All right, you'll find three or four things here in 2 John. You'll find, first of all, a greeting. If you're taking notes, this is the outline. We're going to look at a greeting. Then we'll find an encouragement. And then we'll find an exhortation. And then lastly, we'll find a warning, or next to last, a warning, then a farewell. All right, let's look at the greeting here. He just opens it up. It's just a letter. That's what it is. Let's say just. It is the Spirit of God caused this man to write this glorious letter to the people of God. But he said, he writes this letter and says, the elder unto the elect lady, or as I would address a letter to you, dear so-and-so, the elder. Who's this? If the translator hadn't put up there John, we might not know who this was, would we? That's what John meant to happen. If he saw Revelation 1, if he saw up there where it says St. John the Divine, he would be furious, wouldn't he? John wrote the Gospel of John. And he never mentions his own name. He wrote these epistles. He never mentions his name. He wrote the Revelation, or he translated, or God wrote it, but he dictated. Never mentions his name. I, John, you know, he mentioned it one time. John was a great man because he was a humble man. He was a true disciple of Christ. Because, and I know this because, he wanted the name of Christ to be extolled and honored, and his own name to be forgotten. That's a good definition of a real preacher of the gospel in the job. A man who wants Christ's name to be mentioned often, and his never. And you can mark it down, that person who allows his name to be put in a place of prominence, that person has come in his own name. John just says the elder, unto the elect lady. The elect lady, who's this? Well, it doesn't give her name either. Well, that's not important either. The important thing is she's elect. The elect lady, see, he could be writing to you. You an elect lady? Hey, lady. There on the second row. You elect? Huh? How can you know? Can a person know they're elect? John says so. Look back at 1 John chapter 1. Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. John says it, though, doesn't he? All the way through. And we know that we have passed from death unto life, and thereby we may know that we're the children of God. We know. Paul in 1 Thessalonians. Find it there. I want you to see there. 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul says in verse 4. You got it? 1 Thessalonians 4. Everybody got it? He says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Paul is saying the same thing as John. I know you're elect. How? How may one know? Verse 5, our gospel came. What gospel? Well, the gospel, God loves everybody and Jesus died for everybody and God wants to do that. No, John says, Paul says, our gospel. Paul says that. He says it's another gospel. It's not the gospel. He said, our gospel. The gospel that we preach. If any man preach any other, let him be accursed. If anybody believe any other, they're going to be accursed. Our gospel. In Romans 1, oh, I didn't mean to stop here too long, but you sure could, couldn't you? Romans 1, the gospel of God, the gospel according to His glory, the gospel concerning His Son. Just on and on. The gospel according to the Scriptures, the gospel that makes, it says God's God, man's dead, and Christ is the only hope. Our gospel. Our gospel came to you. There's a lot of preaching going on, calling it gospel. It ain't. Yeah, it ain't the gospel. And they ain't elect who believe it and preach it. But where the gospel is, that's where God is, and that's where God's sheep are. That's where the elect are. Those that believe in our gospel. Right? Our gospel came to you. John, you once heard what you thought was the gospel, didn't you? Was it the gospel? Any elect down there? What are you doing up here? It's because this is where the gospel came. So that's where the elect go. See? That's where wherever the gospel is, that's where the elect are. The gospel is another word for the voice of God, isn't it? God speaking of Himself, His Son, and His sheep hear His voice. Our gospel came to you. Verse 5, not in word only, not just head knowledge, but in power. Power. Life-changing. Soul-saving. Sin-forgiving. Yay, sin-forgiving. Sin-putting away. Blood washing power. Is there power in the blood or not? Joe, you pray about it all the time. Thank you for the blood. Well, if Jesus shed His blood for everybody and they might go to hell, there ain't no power in the blood. Take that song out of the songbook. Well, is there or is there not? There's power in the blood. Soul saving, sin forgiving, power in the blood. Not in your faith, in the blood. Of the Lamb. Not any old Lamb. God's Lamb. That taketh away the sin. There's power in the blood. Huh? Oh, we could dwell here, couldn't we? Say you are. This is a good place to dwell. Gospel came in power. And in the Holy Ghost. What's the Holy Ghost? What does He do? Wherever God's people are, wherever the elect is, that's where the Holy Ghost is. What's the Holy Ghost doing to the elect? He's making them wallow on the ground and laugh. Then the Holy Ghost is down at Bowling's hot dog stand on Saturday night. Or Paul's barbecue on Friday night. Then that's where the Holy Ghost is. Because there's people wallowing on the ground laughing. Doesn't that make that absurd? That's another spirit, people. All that stuff going on in the name of the Holy Spirit is making people act like animals and talk like fools, talk like babies. He doesn't make us talk like babies. He takes babies and makes them talk like men. He seats us like that fellow that Christ came and healed of the demons in Him. He was acting like one of these charismatic fools. He got the Spirit all right. That demon, he had the Spirit. If he'd have been in one of today's meetings, they'd have thought, this man's anointed. Let him preach. He's flat anointed. Listen to him. How about you? How about you? You know what Christ did to him when the Spirit of God and Christ descended upon that man? You know what He did to him? Sat him down. Put His clothes on him. Sat him down, shut his mouth, and listen, made him sit and listen to Christ preach. just the opposite of what's going on today. The Holy Spirit, our Lord saying, that's all that matters, what Christ said about Spirit, isn't it? When He's come, the Spirit of truth, He'll guide you into all truth. I don't hear any preaching of truth going on today. You're hearing a lot of pep rallies, religious pep rallies. Ain't you got the power? Come on now. You need it. Get up and rub, 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 rub. Like a football game. Ain't no truth in it. The Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. And He'll not speak of Himself. All you're hearing in preaching today is the Holy Spirit this and the Holy Spirit that. With an occasional mention of Jesus. Am I telling the truth? Yeah. He'll guide you into all truth. He won't speak of Himself. He'll take the things of Christ and show them to you. He'll bring to remembrance all things that I said. What did Christ say about tongues? The things of Christ, what He said. What did Christ say? Oh. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, and righteous. The kingdom of God is among you. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, you won't get in. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I am come that they might have life. If you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sin. And on and on and on. Christ. The elect, who's the elect? The gospel comes, the gospel, our gospel. In power, in the Holy Ghost takes the things of Christ. He reveals Christ to you. He reveals Christ to you. Holy Spirit-filled people are people who are enamored with Jesus Christ. That's who is filled with the Spirit. People who are flat in love with and worshiping Jesus Christ. People who know that, like the article said, that there ain't nothing else. There ain't another something you need. Christ is all. Right? The Holy Spirit takes God's people and reveals to them, you don't need anything else but Christ. All this other Spirit saying, you needed something else. What? You ain't got it? No, I ain't got it. What is it? I don't know, but you need it. You got it. I got it. What is it? I don't know. Here it comes. You got it? Well, if it is Christ, yes. And He's all. You got the anointing? Try it, son. Talk to one of these idiots, Spirit-filled idiots today. Say, they ask you, are you anointed? Well, if you mean, as the Lord open my understanding to reveal Christ as my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification, my redemption, all my hope of salvation before a holy God, and I'm only accepted in the beloved, and in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in the body, that He's my mediator, my advocate, my righteousness, my substitute, my only hope before God. Am I worshiping Christ and Christ alone, rejoicing in Him and Him only? Has the Holy Spirit taken the things of Christ, His person, His work, and revealed them unto me? Yeah, I got it. And I'm talking in a tongue, and this old tongue only wants to talk about Christ. That's all it wants to talk about. Yeah, I got it. Still leave you. It's that fellow. Weird. Under the elect lady. This lady believed Christ. She knew Christ. She was rejoicing in Christ. She worshiped God. She was rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Put no confidence in the elect. She was elect. Is that you, lady? Hey, lady. On the third row. Elect. Ah, boy. Elect. Now, all the elect believe the same way. They believe the same one. Same way. Same one. Yes, they do. Because they've all been taught of God. They've all been taught of God. That's what Christ said. Now, people aren't elect, and I've got to say this. for the sake of some new people or young believers. People aren't elect because they believe. That's preacher's definition of election. They say God looked down through time to see who would believe on him, so he elected them. But that would be God giving credit for something he didn't do, wouldn't it? Huh? If their faith saves them, then what difference does it make if God elects them? Huh? You see the ridiculous reasoning there? People believe because God elected them. The elect believe because God elected them, chose them from the beginning through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. By grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. God graciously elected you and said, in time, that old boy is going to repent. That old boy or that young person is going to believe Christ. Going to believe. Why? Because God elected him. That's why. You see, he gets all the glory, doesn't he? That means salvation is all his work, doesn't it? All right, so John says, unto the elect lady. You say, you know no way you can get through this. I'm going to try. Unto the elect lady. Lady. A woman. A weaker vessel. People, when it comes to discipleship, we're all women. The Word of God calls God's people the bride, doesn't it? His wife, the bride. When it comes to discipleship, we're all the weaker vessel because Christ is our husband. He's our strong provider. We don't provide anything. He provides it all. You see. And this is written, ladies, rejoice. This is written to a woman for all time and eternity to read about. A woman. There's no mention of her husband. She may have been a widow. She may have been alone, except for her children. A lonely woman. And there are lonely women who have children around. But this is written to this woman without any mention of her husband and no name given to her. Far from being unimportant. You say, I'm a nothing. Virgil used to say that all the time. She said, I ain't done nothing. I said, Virgil, you do something for me just every time I see you sitting there. Every time I come in here and I see you faithfully come in here, 85 years young, I say, it does something for me. It strengthens me. It encourages me. Faithful in a few things. God's not requiring you to do great things. Just be faithful in a few things. And I said, you're far from being unimportant. Lady, you think I'm nothing. I'm nobody. In and of yourself, true. But in Christ, you're an important part of this kingdom. Lady. Important enough for God to write in his book for all eternity. Right? Hey, Betty. Verse 1, he says, whom I love in the truth. Her elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Verse 2, for the truth's sake. They love the truth for the truth's sake. That's a good verse, isn't it, Rick? And they love the truth because it's true. And they love all those that love the truth. What is it that unites our hearts here in this place? We come from all walks of life, different backgrounds, and we have different personalities, and I come from Kentucky, and if you went through this crowd, you'd find people from all over. What brings us here? What is it that unites our heart? What? You see, you'll see me hugging up old Henry there. We come from as diverse backgrounds, Henry, as it could come from, don't we? Huh? Different circumstances. Age. Hey, Henry's old. And I'm young. But we're united in love. What is it, Henry? What is it? We like automobile. I mean, you work in a service station. I used to work in a service station. It's truth. And more specifically, it's the gospel. Gospel is the truth. That's what unites our hearts, isn't it? Isn't that the blessed tie that binds? Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is just like that above. This truth, the truth of the gospel, it unites us in love. It unites us in love. And it unites us from all walks of life. And you know, it's so amazing. And this is why it's the truth of God, and it's God's work, is because it makes people love each other more than they do their own flesh and blood. That's how you know it's the truth. Husbands and wives, and this truth is going to last forever. This love between brethren in the truth is going to last forever. Look at verse 2. It, the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. The love and the truth will be with us forever. Forever. See, husbands are going to leave their wives. And they do all the time. Wives will leave their husbands. If not in this life, they will in death. You young people getting married, say, I want to love you. This is for all eternity. No, it's not. No. No, it's not. Probably won't last 6 months. I hope it does. If it does last a lifetime, it's going to end when you get in that grave or when she gets in the grave. Ain't no marriage and giving in marriage in heaven. No, Christ is our husband. And only those that are married to him now will be married to him then. Husbands and wives, their love was, and children and parents and so forth, but not this one. This is going to remain. For now abideth faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. Faith shall pass away, hope, but love will never fade. We'll go on loving the truth. The truth. We're going to hear the truth preach the truth. You know that? We're going to hear the truth preach the truth. And in verse 3, he says, grace be with you, mercy and peace. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father. Grace, mercy, what do we need from God? What do we need? What do you need? Someone may say, oh, if I only had my health. Well, you had it once before. What'd you do with it? What good did it do to getting old? Well, if I only had my youth, what'd you do with your youth? Well, if I only had money, you've had that too. Oh, money, that'd take care of everything, you know. Money makes the world go round. It may make the world go round. Well, what about when the world stops? It's going to stop, isn't it? It's going to stop. I tell you what we need. Oh, you say I may need a new job. I need an improved situation. I need happiness. I need this. All these things are going to pass. Tell them, old folks. Tell these young people. Tell them. Youth isn't all it cracked up to be. It doesn't last too long. It's gone, isn't it? It came. It passed. Old folks, now what matters? Oh, my. Anybody ought to be asking themselves that. You ought to. Now, what do you need? You're about to go meet God. Now, what do you need? Grace, mercy, and peace. That's what we need. You know? That's what every person in this room needs. Grace, mercy, and peace, and it all got to come from God. These are eternal things. These are eternal things. That's which is temporal, or that which is seen is temporal, but these things are eternal. You've given the, these, you teachers have given the young people this definition of mercy. What is mercy, young people? You remember? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. You remember that? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. All right, here's an illustration. Say if Andrew, I'm just going to pick on you, Andrew. You're just there. And say if Andrew, his mother says, Andrew, don't do something. Don't do that. If you do that, I'm going to spank you. All right? If you do that, I'm going to spank you. Say Andrew does it. You know what mercy is? Say she says this. Here's a better illustration. Say she says, Andrew, if you do that, I'm going to spank you 10 times. 10 lashes. And no way she'd do that. She's too easy. Well, say she did. Say that. 10 times. I'll give you 10 lashes, Andrew, if you do that. And Andrew does it. You know what mercy is? If she just gives him 9. Right? Now, that's mercy. It is, isn't it? She didn't give him all that she said he was going to give. Mercy would be if she said, just give him 5. Oh, lots of mercy would be if she didn't give him any. Didn't give him any. He said. You know what grace is? Grace is taking Andrew down and buying him an ice cream cone to boot. Not give him any spanking, take him to Dairy Queen. Give him a banana split. Now that's grace. He said, grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy isn't, he didn't get what he deserved. Grace is giving him what he didn't deserve. He didn't do anything to earn that. Why did he get it? Deborah's gracious. She loves him. He said. And peace would be, now Deborah would have a right to be aggravated with him. To frown at him. Eat that old banana split. You don't deserve it. You ought to get a whipping. I still might give you one. Well, when you get through with that, I just might. Peace would be her smiling at that boy. That's a good illustration, isn't it? Of grace, mercy, and peace. Mercy is God said you ought to go to hell. Barnard said anything this side of hell's mercy, didn't he? People say, oh, why is this happening to me?
It's God's mercy that more ain't happening.
Right? Because we've sinned against God. We've ignored God all our lives. Haven't given a thought to the one who clothed us, fed us, and gave us our children, gave us this, gave us that. Never give a thought to God. He ought to send us to hell with our shoes on. Right? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is sending Christ down to take your hell for you. Boy, we got what we didn't deserve, didn't we? Unspeakable gift. That unspeakable, I never spoke on it. I've never been able to speak on it. This unspeakable gift. God sending His Son. I've never been able to rightly declare it. What God has done. I hadn't seen, ear hadn't heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things God's done for it in Christ. Just what God did. Someday we're going to see, Barbara. Someday we're going to see Christ as He is. Someday we're going to know like we've been known. And we're going to shout. One of our ladies said last Sunday, she said, what would you do if one of us ladies shouted? I said, I'd shout back at you. But you're going to shout in glory. I'm not encouraging unbridled enthusiasm here, but ladies, we're all going to be ladies there. And we're going to do some shouting. Why? Because we're going to enter into this gospel. Sherry, you're going to enter into this gospel. You're going to hear it preached. You're going to see Him who is the gospel. Nobody's going to contain you. And you're not going to want to be contained. Praise God. grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, getting what you don't deserve, and peace is God's not angry with you. God's people. Who's he writing to here? Who's he writing to? The elect. Isn't it? The wrath of God abides on the ungodly. This is not written to every man without exception. No. God is angry with the wicked every day. God hates all workers of iniquity. Any man or woman or young person not in Jesus Christ, God is, the wrath of God is hanging over their head. And they're over hell on a shoestring. But in Christ now, God smiles. God loves you. He's smiling at me, an old sinner. My sin is ever before me. Not before God. John, did you hear what Jesus said? My sin is ever before. It's not before God. It ain't nowhere to be found. God said, listen to this. Listen to this. Your sins and iniquity, I'll remember no more. No more. Gone. I'll separate from as far as the east from the west. Where's that? How far does the east go? How far does the west go? Where's God? Where's my sin? Gone. Is it gone, Jesse? Gone, Jesse. The elect in Christ. God, you have peace with God. Peace with God. Why? Because we make our peace? Oh, don't say that. Isn't that awful? Isn't that blasphemy? It took the blood of God's Son to make peace with this holy God. This God who demands perfection. It took the blood of God's Son. He is our peace. God's smiling at me. Why? There's somebody seated beside him. Got his arm around him. Jesus Christ. He made peace by the blood of his cross. Isaiah 50. What a man. Listen. It pleased the Lord to bruise him to an unrecognizable state. Barbara, that's what you deserved at the hands of the Holy God. Now, that sounds crude, doesn't it? And the world wouldn't like this, but that's what it took. Because that's what Christ got in your place. Had you been there and God given you what you deserved, he had stripped you naked and beat you into an unrecognizable mass of bloody flesh. That's what he did to his son. And then threw your soul in hell to boot. That's rough, isn't it? People ain't got the slightest notion what sin's all about. The only place we're going to learn is at Calvary. When Christ was made sin. Sin, you remember that survey on sin in the Roanoke newspaper? You remember that silly thing? They asked everybody what sin was and said, sin's this, sin's that. Sin's so bad, people. God's going to send people where they're for an eternity to suffer because of it. He found it on his son. His son was made sin, and he endured 6 hours of hell on earth. Well, he says it's from God. His peace comes from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ who made it, the Son of the Father, who made this peace with the Father. We accepted in the Beloved, the only begotten, well-beloved Son. He says it's too good to be true. No, verse 3. No, this is true. It's in truth. And it's in love. It's true. And God did it because he loves you. See, I don't understand. God's holy, and yet he loved in Christ. He loves you as much as he loves his son. That's a mystery, isn't it? Huh? That's a mystery. In Christ, though, it's true. And it's in love. Everything he did was because of his love toward you.
Oh my, greater love hath no man than this. Well, here's the encouragement, okay? Here's the encouragement. And some of you planted a garden, haven't you? When you walk out there in the garden after planting those seeds, you really rejoice and you go back out there and you see those seeds starting to bear fruit, don't you? You see those little plants. I've never grown corn in my life. I've never had enough land. I've only had a garden plot about as big as right here. And you can't grow good corn. They tell me it takes at least 3 rows to pollinate itself. And got to be pretty thick. Well, I've got some now, and I planted some corn. And I went out one day, and it's coming up. And I about did an Indian dance, right? Corn! I don't know if you don't have any to eat, but nevertheless, it's growing. It's growing. And I rejoiced. And John rejoiced that he planted the gospel and he saw it coming up. Look at it. He says, I rejoice, verse 4, greatly that I found that you're not only you are elect, but I found your children walking in the truth. Stay with me a few minutes, would you? Just a few minutes. Young people, I know I've lost you. It's a miracle if an adult can stay attentive to the message 5 minutes, let alone a child. But here he says he found some children walking in the truth. Some children believing the gospel. It's a rarity. It's a rarity back then, I believe. It sure is a rarity today. It's a rarity in our children believing and walking, living upon the truth. Loving, believing the gospel, worshiping, really worshiping and rejoicing. That's what this means. Really worshiping and rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Really. God grant us some children. Oh, my. Oh, how I would rejoice, and you would too. One of the ladies called me on the phone. She was concerned. Says she's been burdened by about one of our young men for years now and seen some encouraging signs. We both just wanted to weep together. And oh, Lord. She said, I've been praying. I said, I've been too. I know his parents are. Lord, make him interested. What would it be like if one of our young people actually believed the gospel and rejoiced and more interested in it than some of this other stuff? Wouldn't you rejoice? Huh? Wouldn't you rejoice? The prodigal son, Lord, bring a prodigal son home. Oh, my. Oh, my. The scripture says there's joy in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. There'd be some joy in here. He says it's a commandment of God. Your children are walking in truth as we receive commandment from the truth. Your children ought to believe God. Barnard used to say, he said, we ought to preach expecting men to believe it. Not being surprised when they do. We ought to expect people. We'll be all, it's God coming. God is. Why don't you believe? It's a commandment of God. Believe. God has commanded men everywhere to repent. Oh, that they were wise and consider their latter end. It's appointed unto men, yes, and young people, once to die, and after that to judgment. It's just as true, more true than I'm standing here. It's a commandment from God. Believe Christ. Christ did. He's seated on the throne of heaven. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean he isn't. These teenagers commit suicide. They find out. He is. He is. Any of these agnostics or unbelievers don't believe in him, then pull a trigger. Find out. You believe so strongly, find out. He is. The God you who have not known, the Scripture says, the God in whose hand your breath is, this magnificent creation called a human body. Only a fool would say that God is not, that Christ is not. God came down in the form of His Son, Christ. He said a lot of things. We better be listening to it. We better believe Him. We better come to Him. Yes, little children. And John found some. He said, I rejoice. They were actually walking in the truth. Actually walking. Walking means, doesn't mean passive either. It means a life. They just didn't go and be baptized like I was when I was 12 years old, baptized, and then they were actually rejoicing in the gospel. Actually, walking. Christ was their life. Now, here's the exhortation now. Verse 5, he said, now I beseech you, lady, I beseech you, I implore you. It's not, I'm not writing something new unto you, he said. Not, it's something new, but it's what you had from the beginning, that we love one another. Christ said it from the beginning. Love one another. This is my commandment, Christ said, that you love one another. Now, even us believers need this over and over again, don't we? Huh? Even believers need this. Do you need this? John says it. Why does John dwell on this so much? Why did Christ dwell? Because the old flesh loves itself. And Christ said this. Listen here. Love one another. Why? Because love is the only true motivation for service. The only true motivation. The only thing that will cause you to serve this church is a love for this gospel. A love for the people. Love is a true mark of discipleship. Christ said this is the way all men know. Not just because you say you're this or that, but you love one another. It's the testimony of the gospel. Much more than what we say. And people see, hey, those people, as important as it is that we stand for the truth, and we do, we're not going to back down an inch, and we're known for that. It's equally as important that we be known for loving one another. Oh, so-and-so left. I knew. He didn't. Said he believed this and believed that. That's all. See, it's all down the drain. He loved the gospel. She loved the gospel. And they said, this is the only gospel and this is the only place where the gospel is. Well, they left. Why? See that? The world's going to say, ain't nothing to that. Ain't nothing to that. It's the testimony of the gospel and love. It's the truth in love. See that? You see that? See how important that is? John dwells on it. It's the truth. You've got to have the truth. You ought to have the gospel in love. Dwelling in love. You see that? John Sheasley, you see that, don't you? First John. You see that Second John? And Third John? He dwells on it all the time. That's what it means. Now, you got to have the gospel. It's vital. There's no church without it. You got no church without love either. Inseparable, unfailing, undying love. Service. I need that. We all need it. This is the commandment. Verse 6. This is the love. This is love. We walk after His commandment. Walk in love. Love one another. Now you heard from the beginning. Walk in it. Walk in it. God has ordained peace and love for His family. And He hates those who disturb it. Hates them. Isn't that what He said in Proverbs 6? God hateth them that sow discord. Isn't it? I remember when I was a kid. Any of you kids ever been punished for something your sister or your brother did? Huh? Y'all were arguing or getting in a fight or something and your daddy or mama said, had spanked you both? Or you both got in trouble? Huh? Why would they do that? And you pleaded, I didn't do it. She did it and she was pleading, I didn't do it. He did it. One of them didn't do it. But nevertheless, they were both in it. And Mama or Daddy punished you both, huh? Why? They want peace. They want love. And they're going to do whatever is necessary to obtain it. To the point of spanking everybody in sight. It was four of us. My dad just lined up. Now shut up. I want peace, especially traveling in the car for 20 hours to Florida. Shut up! He never said that, but I know he thought it. I thought it was one. He wants peace, love. Why can't y'all get along? Why can't you get along? The same way with God's family. Why can't you get along? Same way. Well, he did that. You love Christ as Christ loved you. No matter what he or she did to you, you love him. He said, many deceivers, verse 7, many deceivers are out there. And here's the warning. Many deceivers. Many deceivers. Oh, I love you, brother. I love you. I've been told that by some people that later on, it's so obvious they hate my guts. Many deceivers are entering into the world. A lot of pretended disciples. A lot of hypocritical professors. Here's the warning to believers. To beware of deceivers. They are entered into the world. Now listen, here's Satan's most devious ploy. Listen to me now, quickly. I'll say this quickly. He is the deceiver. This is a deceiver. You see that? Verse 7, a deceiver and an antichrist. Satan is the principal spirit of antichrist. Right? He is the deceptive one. He is the one. He's the deceiver of men. And his disciples are deceivers. Satan's ministers. And his most devious ploy. Listen to me now. You with me? Satan's most devious ploy and successful ploy is to infiltrate the church and to pretend to be one of you. And then he subverts people by subtleties. Subtle deceptions. I've been saying this for years. Subtle deceptions, innuendos, suggestions, and the way he does it, his principal way of doing it, is with the Bible. He couches everything he says in biblical language. That's his most devious and successful ploy. When he enters in, you think he's won. Or talent. Good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Don't you be deceived, brethren. And look at it. Look to yourselves. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. What things? What things? What have we been talking about all morning? The gospel we got here. The fellowship of the saints. The brethren. Love. The unity and so forth. And you notice it said there, anybody that says that Christ's not come in the flesh. We dealt with that this morning. And it's signs of the spirit of Antichrist. They deny his deity. Jehovah Witnesses are Antichrist. Paul said that even now there are many Antichrist. Didn't it? John said that. Many Antichrist. He said that in 1 John 2, verse 18. Many. Not just one you have to worry about. It's many. Christ said many shall come in that last day. Jehovah Witnesses are all Antichrists. They deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't they? Yeah, they do. They deny the Godhood of Jesus Christ. They deny his deity. Any Arminian gospel is anti-Christ. Anything that says, yes, Christ saved you, but, or Christ plus, Anything that says Christ plus, yes, we believe in God's Word plus the Book of Mormon, Antichrist. We believe in Christ plus good works, Antichrist. Plus, Christ plus signs. We believe in Christ, Jesus, what He did, plus you got to have signs and wonders, Antichrist. Antichrist. And John says, don't lose what you have here. Huh? Don't lose what you have. Verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he doesn't have God. The doctrine of Christ. What's that mean? The doctrine of Christ, that Christ is God. The doctrine of Christ. Henry, I quote that all the time, don't we? John 8:24. If you don't believe I'm He, Christ said, if you believe not that I am, you're going to die. Who are you? I am. They know, the Jews knew who He said He was saying. God, I'm God. I'm from above, you're from beneath. If you believe not, you die in your sin, right? Right? Christ is sovereign, the doctrine of Christ, that Christ elects a people. It says it all through the Scripture. Christ saves in Christ alone, that Christ keeps in Christ alone, that Christ sends His Spirit, and His Spirit speaks of Christ alone. It's all Christ. The doctrines we insist upon are nothing less than the doctrine of Christ, that Christ is Christ. Christ is Christ. What's that mean? That He's Christ. What Christ means is the Messiah. What does the Messiah do? Saves. Not just a leader, not just a show how to, the Savior. The one, that woman at the well said, when Messiah is come, He'll show us, He'll tell us, He'll save us. What did Christ say? I'm Him. I am. He's the Savior. He's all. The doctrine of Christ is nothing more, nothing less than Christ and Him alone. Anybody who denies this or compromises this or adds to it or takes away from it is anti-Christ. Right? Anti-Christ. And verses 9 through 11, he says, he warns us, he says, don't you be part nor partial to this, to anybody that has it. Verse 10, if there come unto you, any unto you and bring not this doctrine, if somebody comes to your door and they say, and they have a little sign that says, Church of the Latter-day Saints, or say, has a little sign that says, little name tag that says, the Kingdom Witnesses. That's Jehovah's Witness. Or if they don't have a sign, if they got, here's it, if they got blue pants on, a blue tie, and a white shirt. They're bringing this doctrine to you. And you know the first thing you need to say, if you believe that Jesus Christ is none other than God Almighty, first thing you say to them, and they say, we believe that, say, get out. Yeah, but get out. That's what he's saying here. And he says, don't say goodbye. You know where our word goodbye comes from? Good, B-Y-E. Good, be ye. Good, God be with ye. God bless ye. That's where goodbye came from. God bless ye. Don't tell them, God bless ye. Tell them, if you don't believe what I just said, go to hell. Is that too rough, Sam? That's what Paul said, didn't it? If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, y'all just go to hell, okay? Not too rough, Terry? Paul said it, didn't it? If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let him go to hell. And he will. They will. They will. Boy, that's rough language. Oh, preacher ought not be so rough. Oh, they ain't seen rough yet. They ain't seen rough. Jesus Christ's wrath on all those who don't worship Him. God is not all love. He is in Christ. Boy, He's all love in Christ, isn't He? He's all love in Christ. Outside of Christ, He's wrath. He's a consuming fire. And here's the farewell. It's just a simple farewell. I got many things to say to you, he said, verse 12. I don't want to keep writing here. I want to come see you. I trust to come unto you and speak face to face to you. That our joy, your joy, my joy. I want to see you in person. Let's discuss this gospel. Let's talk about these things. Verse 13. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. There's some more kids. This is not her worldly or her flesh and blood sister, but another sister. Evidently, she knew who he was talking about. Thy elect sister. Maybe it was her sister and her nephews and nieces. Maybe it was. That's glorious, though. And everyone has something. Oh, by the way, I'm so glad that Andrew and Jennifer walking in truth. John could have said, oh, I'm so glad to hear that they believe and rejoice in the gospel and the word. And cousin Billy and cousin Bobby, they believe it too. They said, hey. Huh? Wouldn't Deborah rejoice? She rejoicing not in her only kid. You're kidding me. Not that rascal. That's what they say about me now, Henry. That's what they say about not him. Yeah, him. He believes this gospel. He's walking in it. He's preaching it. No, no, no way. One man said, I've been in prison since I was 17. He was close. He was mighty close. But by the grace of God, I'd have stayed there. Oh, I would rejoice. Lord, give us some children. Give us some adults. Give us some children. But I sure rejoice in you elect ladies. You hear that, ladies? Ladies, elect ladies. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God and from Christ. All right, Joe, did you get you pick a hymn out? 187, and Mindy and I are going to have to get gone and on the road. Lord willing, we'll see you in a few days. 187? Let's stand.
Stand then. First, second, and fourth stanza. First, second, and fourth.
Blessed be
in your dismay.